give you all the honor, Father. Us where a lot of people, a few people are in that place of great discouragement, feeling great hopelessness, and just feeling like, Lord, take me home. And I'm sure there's a few people that you've actually used exact those words, where you just feel like life is not worth living. And, yeah, sure. What I feel, I know the scripture says, a righteous man shall 7 times fall, and will 7 times do what? Get up again. But I don't know about you. If you've ever fallen, from my experience, you're walking, looking cool, and you trip and fall, the last thing you want is anybody to notice you ever fell. Is that just me?
That's true.
You quickly pick yourself up, compose yourself, and keep walking, and inside it hurts. It just hurts. And when you feel you are out of sight, nobody's seeing, and then you go, ah! I think every time I fall, that's what I do. Naturally, it's because our moment of failing and falling is never our proudest moment, no matter how often we fall. It always brings a sense of failure and a sense of maybe I'm not just that good enough. And it is often not a place we want to parade around for all to see. We do the best to conceal it. I remember as a boy playing soccer, and your friend kicks the soccer ball, and the ball hits you on the kwazoo. What do you do? Do you go and hold the place and say, "Oh, no"? You walk it off. But inside, everything is screaming. I remember a few months ago, the guys at Iris Global, they were doing, anybody seen my little interview with Heidi Baker people? So I knew during that interview that one of the favorite questions they ask all the preacher men who are very spiritual is, what is your favorite movie? Okay, now, if you're going to be asked such a question where the whole world is going to watch, you want to pick a good moral movie that you feel you're not going to be judged on. So I'm thinking, what is my favorite movie? Thank goodness they didn't ask me the question. Huh? Okay. Do you know how you got favorite songs when you feel like you're a giant? And favorite songs when you feel like you're not? Anybody or just me? I find most of the time I feel miserable. Anybody ever feel miserable? Most of the time I feel miserable. Don't tell anybody. I like watching the Batman. I watch the whole movie so I can listen to one statement. Master Bruce, why do we fall? So we can learn to pick ourselves up. Who would think that would be the most memorable line in the Batman? And in thinking about why do we fall, I feel for me, this is me sharing me with you. In my life, I have mountaintops moments, the moments where everything is great. I'm invincible. I feel like MC Hammer. You can touch this. I'll teach you later. So there's mountaintops moments, and there is a valley moment. There are moments when you're catching the wave, like Jeff would appreciate. And then there's also moments where the wave is bashing you to the ground. Have one of those moments? And any wave will always have a trough and a crest, will always have a high and a low. And what I feel the Holy Spirit is encouraging me is the true spirit of a warrior is how we handle the troughs and not just the crests in life. Is how we handle the down moments more than the up moments. I was thinking on Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. Anybody remember what that one says? I read it to you. Kind of a lesson that the psalmist says he learned. Psalm 30 verse 5, he say from the Passion Translation, I have learned that his anger is short-lived. Okay? That is God's anger. But his loving favor lasts a lifetime. The favor of the Lord lasts a lifetime. So there is moments that are short-lived, very short, not that long, that are followed by moments that will endure a lifetime. And in the moments of crests and troughs, highs and lows, the lesson David is learned is to let his life be defined by moments that last a lifetime other than moments that are short-lived. To have your life defined by times and seasons that really matter. And in moving on, he says, we may weep through the night, but at daybreak, it will turn into shouts of ecstatic joy. The versions we are more familiar with or used to says difficult times, hard times, seasons and moments of the dark night of the soul are very short. And what I sense is most of us, a lot of us are in that period where we're experiencing the dark night of the soul. We are seeing a lot of darkness, a lot of hopelessness, and you're not having a sense or a feel of a breakthrough anywhere near soon. And what I feel the Spirit is saying to us, to you, in that, is that you've got two ways we can respond or get through that. The first way is to let the gravity, the hopelessness of that moment form and forge how we come out Or we can allow the goodness and the faithfulness and the kindness of God prevail. Wherever there is a high, most often there always be a low. And the trough moments in life are means to draw us close in intimacy to Him. If we can't recognize that, then the troughs of life will draw us away from a place of intimacy with Him. Now, there are two things that will happen. Whereas we ride the wave and the troughs draw us closer to a place of intimacy, to a place and a sense of feeling running away to Him, the place that David says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous do what? Run to it, and they are safe. So it is in those moments of defeat, humiliation, and embarrassment, and fear that we are meant to run to Him. Okay? And because He is a strong tower, the trough moments becomes a high point. And when you are let loose from that high point, Jeff, it's like being on top of a wave on your surfboard. You go with greater momentum, speed, and acceleration that will enable you to go way and above that you have ever gone before. So it becomes that low moment that propels you to greater heights than you've ever been before. Now, one thing you gotta understand, those greater heights, Marco, become like a world. And every world is naturally stronger than the natural steel because there is a reinforcement. And that's why that moment is called breakthrough. Okay? Now, the better news is, wherever we break through, we get to keep that territory. Which means your next trough is higher than your last crest. Did you understand that? That means your next low point is higher than your previous high point. And this is why you move on from glory to glory, which means it is ongoing, continuously, exceedingly going higher. So on your next low point, you gotta remember you're actually above your previous high point. Does that make sense? So, how does it take you to the next high point? It's to create and the circumstances that will create more energy and momentum for you to push on. Am I making sense? If I'm not making sense to you, I think I'm making sense to me. So what comes down to is our choices and decisions, when we run to Him in times of trouble, our choices and decisions are made in a place of intimacy and fellowship. Okay? The name of the Lord is what? The righteous doer. So in that place of being in Him, the choices and decisions we are making are a place in, out of fellowship. When we run away from Him, then the choices we are making are from a place of fear, which are going to take us where? Lower, to a place of losing ground, that which we've already achieved. I think for me personally, one of the challenges I had to learn, run to the Lord for will be probably maybe 6-8 months ago. Awesome Tony was giving the report about how the finances of the church are going. It's always a great moment. And the long short of it was, as a church, we are registered as a company limited by guarantee, which means as such, as a company, you can never trade well-being insolvent, which means you're broke. Operating while you're broke is against the law. So one of the options is we gotta shut down the church or get some money. Which option do you prefer? So we looked at what's the biggest expense that the church has. Anybody guess? It is paying wages. How would you like to be remembered in eternity that church shut down because you get paid? So, I felt the Holy Spirit, that I came up with a brilliant idea. That I'm going to take 6 months of unpaid leave. That means the church doesn't have to pay me, and I'll continue paying the church water bills and electricity bills and everything else, but not being paid. How's that sounding so far? Not good for me. But the biggest challenge is, would I believe the Lord to be my provision? Yes, Lord. And I didn't take a holiday. It is following that I was actually working the hardest I've ever worked at church, running a full-time school of ministry. And what I want to share is during this course, people that are not even part of this church, they gave me money pretty much would have been over $40,000 in cash in hand. This is just like a handful of people. And a couple from here. And what I'm trying to share is not about the money. I just want to share this as a testimony. But the moment I chose to believe God, He stepped up. And in counting, probably, if I was a good mathematician or accountant, what I've been given would be probably just about covers every single cent I didn't receive in 6 months. So it is a thing where one side you're experiencing great need, great luck, and a typical dark moment. And on the other side, you're experiencing the faithfulness, the goodness, and the grace of God. But without that low moment, I would not have the confidence or the push to move further with the Father to a place of intimacy and experiencing His grace and faithfulness. That through that place and through it all, I could confidently say, the Lord is my reward, He's my strength, and He's my sustenance. That I could say, like David said, I have been young, now old, have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children beg bread, because there's tons of it on that corner. Can I encourage us, those of us that are experiencing dark moments and discouragement and despair, to look at it as a ramp that the Father wants to send you on to a greater high? So for me, it's in a place where challenges to the left, incredible victories to the right. So by the end of the day, what am I going to allow to govern my day? Yeah. For a few years, I've been working on a book. Many years. It's changed names. Now it's called Shame to Honor, which comes down pretty much is the faithfulness of a faithful dad. Some professional editor offered, they edited it, it's done. And probably one of the most incredible things is Heidi Beck is endorsing it. Duncan Smith, who is now taking over the chair of Catch the Fire, is endorsing it. Shampa is endorsing it. Mel Tari, the author of Like a Mighty Wind, is endorsing it. And a few many other people is like, wow! That's incredible, Lord. And on the other side, what is happening just doesn't match up or is not consistent with the victories on one side. So awesome to a point where one of my friends, Geshem, he's even organized for me to do a book tour across the U.S. in October. $200 a copy. Just read the endorsements. Forget the book. What I'm trying to say is, it's high points that have been followed by very low points. So most of probably what I want to remind us is that your God, your Father, is the most loving, most kind, most gracious, most compassionate person in the whole universe. He is totally committed to see you succeed, excel, flourish, and live the fullness of the life He created you to live. You may feel you've made mistakes and as such are disqualified from His loving kindness, but David said His land, His anger, His disappointment is always short-lived by His love that lasts a lifetime. What that means is His love for you is enough to last you your whole life. Speaking in Zulu, His kindness for you, His love for you is enough to outlast your uncle's disappointment. When your dad said, "You are such a disappointment." When he said you are such a disappointment, His love and approval for you could outlast your father's disappointment. It will outlive your father's disappointment. And more than anything, what I want us to remember is that He loves you. And He's the most loving, most kind, most compassionate person, and who's totally on your side. Father, just ask that would you rest on your sons and daughters this morning, because you are a good father. Lord, as you rest on your sons and daughters, I just ask that you lift up. asked Charles if I could share something a couple of weeks ago in regards to when he was talking about bearing fruit in those troughs and the hard places. The Lord had been not just speaking to me in regards to future events, and He has a plan for us. And the prophets have been saying about we would enter back into a Joseph generation, people. This wasn't just something that was individual. It was something that was going to be his church would enter back into a Joseph generation. As we know, Joseph was taken through the pit. He'd suffered, he'd been humiliated, he'd been betrayed, he'd been various things of what Joseph had to go through. For what reason? Because God had an agenda at the end of it. And the agenda was, you've heard of the seven mountains, you've heard of the governments, and you've heard of the dreams that Pharaoh had. God is going to give the pharaohs of our world dreams. They're going to cause confusion. Whether it be literally dreams, I don't know. But it's going to cause confusion because they're not going to have the answers. God is raising up us to have the answers that we can take this place, because they're not going to have the answers. There's security. I seen the Father literally drew a line in the sand, and he stood on that side, and I said, Lord, what's that? He said, that's the day. I said, Father, I don't understand. He said, call it what you like. Call it D-Day. Call it a day, but this is the day that you make a stand. I said, Lord, I still don't understand. He said, Paul, where you are now and where that line is, that's the time that you have. He said, that's the training. He said, trials and tribulations are preparing you for the other side of that line. If you're not ready on the other side of the line, you are going to be part of the problem, not part of the solution. So I've been getting exciting for the last couple of weeks because This is the flavor in what heaven is preparing us for through the messages, through the songs, through the prayers, through everything. He is confirming that which he's doing ahead of time. He's not making apologies for us in what we're going through. He said to me, Paul, he said, I give you permission this next season for us as a church to prophesy that whenever someone gets tormented by the devil, gets oppressed, he said, I give you permission to prophesy that is promotion for them. So your trials and tribulation are for a very, very good reason. But we've got to turn them around and live what the Lord said in James 1. Consider it all joy when fiery trials come upon you. The Lord's spelling it out for us, guys. There's no one exempt from this war. None of us. He's got a plan, and he wants us to be ready on that day. We don't have to do it alone. We've got partners. We've got fathers that can help us walk through this. If we've got a problem with bellyache and murmur and complain, find someone that could be accountable to us to help us walk through this. Guys, that's what I feel the Father was saying to me as a watchman. And the watchman's... He gave him instructions. He said, Watchman, give me no rest day or night. Remind me of my word. There are people in here that have got in their belly this fire of decreeing and declaring God's word. Come, guys, we need you. It's not an individual thing anymore. It's a team of people that function together as a unit and get this job done. He's the captain. He just wants us to partner with him. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah, so all things say, what am I sensing in my heart? The Father's positioning you and I to a place of greater victory. The Father is positioning you and I to a place of greater breakthrough. And just the way to the same verity or intensity of the discouragement, the opposition, and the weight you've been experiencing, that should give you a picture of the launch into the next place of victory. That should give you a trajectory
about how high your next high point is going to be. Amen. Bless you guys. If you need prayer at the end, happy to pray with you. Thanks, honey.
Haven't finished. Why don't you just stand and just respond to what the Holy Spirit's been doing to your heart. Just respond. Just let all those words, just let them sink into your heart. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for the ministry of your Spirit. Just move upon every heart, Father. And over again, Father, just yes, Lord, we just let that truth come into our heart. Yes, Lord, we just let that truth. You can stand, sit, whatever you feel like. I just had something little to share with you all today. Yeah, I just love all that word, hey? Oh, Lord, you're so good. I was praying about today, Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. And again, happy isn't, I don't know, it's not a big enough word for me. That's why I need the Passion Translation to make all my words bigger. Psalms 3, from 3 to 8, I'm going to read some of that. But in the depths of my heart, I truly know that you have become my shield. You take me and surround me with yourself. Your glory covers me continually. You alone restore my courage, for you lift high my head when I bow low in shame. I've cried out to you from your holy presence, and you send me a father's help. Now I'll lie down and go to sleep, and when I wake in safety, for you surround me with your glory. Even though dark powers prowl around me with their words like sharp arrows, I won't be afraid. I simply cry out to you. Rise up and help me, Lord. Come and save me. And you will slap them in the face, breaking the power of their words to harm me. My true hero comes to my rescue. What feast of favor and bliss he gives his people. As I was praying today, I just kept getting this picture of the superheroes, and I'm like, Lord, what is going on? And I'm in the shops, and you know they've written kids' books for Father's Day about my father, the superhero. It's all through the shops, the superhero stuff. And I'm like, Father, what are you saying? And this is what I felt he was saying, was that particularly fathers, but this, can you take it all, it can apply to anyone. In life, there's so many times where we feel like we have to be the superhero. We have to make it happen. We have to have it on display. We have to bring the superpowers. We have to make it work. We solve the problems. And felt like the Father was saying today, the end of that verse, my true hero comes to my rescue. He is the superhero. Even the word super, he's your supernatural superhero. And he wanted to just reveal that. It's what Charles was saying. We don't talk about what we say. We just like it, just bubble, you know, bubble and flow. Anyway, it's what he was saying. I just felt he wants to reveal to your heart today that he is your superhero. And as much as, you know, superheroes go out in their undies and, I mean, you know, put it all there and their muscles, as just he wants to be tangible, real superhero. And it's all the way through the scripture. It's all the way through. If you get in your Psalms, he wants to be your hero. He wants to save your day over and over and over. And as I was praying about it, thinking about it, then it just started coming to my heart. Charles was getting very nervous last night when I was creating my armor. He's like, "You're not going to make me wear that, are you? You're not going to make anyone else wear that, are you?" But I just really felt that the Father wanted to give us fresh life to our hearts, fresh hope. Because it feels like what Charles was saying. It feels like we've been walking around as superheroes with just our undies on. It just feels like you just got the undies, but we haven't got, like, I'm just fighting as hard as I can, but there's no superhero, you know? There's no... And the Father wants to be our superhero, but he also wants to clothe us. And he wants to totally invigorate and protect us. And so I was jumping into Ephesians there, in Ephesians 6, and you know all of this about the armor, but as I was reading it, it's just so awesome. And the Father wants to give you some armor, more armor than your superhero undies. He wants you to be like covered and protected. Listen to this. "Now finally, my beloved ones, be supernaturally enthused with strength." So that would probably mean that we're not. So be supernaturally enthused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. "Stand strong with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you." Ha. Put on. So, you know, we choose what we put on, and the Father is wanting to be our hero and speaking for us. He's our justification. He speaks for us, but he gave us stuff to put on. It says, put on the full suit of armor. You know what it says? It says that God wears when he goes into battle. So it's not like, I mean, he's our superhero, but he wears this stuff. Put on the full suit of armor that God wears. It's not like us, like, little weaklings. This is what God wears. We're just not aware. So that, why do we put it on? So you will be protected as you take a stand against the evil strategies of the accuser. So whether you want to take a stand or not, that's our life, is taking a stand. So he wants to give us the protection. "Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms," okay? "For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage." It really feels like we're in a superhero beginning of the movie. They're in rebellion. "Because of this, you must wear all the armor God provides." Sitting there, here I am just in my nothing, and he's got all this stuff here, but I'm not wearing it, I mean, it's there, but it's whether I want to wear it or not. "He provides so I'm protected. For we are destined for all things and will rise victorious." Okay, so put on truth. Put on truth. When I read that, it says put on truth. It's like you actually have to choose to put it on. You've got to, so it means there's truth there, but what do I want to clothe myself with? That means there's a lot of lies out there. So I have to constantly put on truth as a belt to strengthen me to stand in triumph. So here we go, so I can dress myself. I said to the girls I need an armor bearer, but anyway. We've got to put, honey, I can dress you up if you want. We've got to put on truth. I was like thinking last night, I wonder why this is the first piece of armor. And I was like, you know, why does it say put on truth first? Like, that kind of is important, the way things are ordered. Put on truth is a belt. What do belts do? Honey, why do you wear belts? Very important. So he doesn't lose his pants because they keep falling down. So you don't, it holds you together. Truth gives you a foundation to stand on. It holds you up. So what does it mean for me to put on truth? It means for me to find every word the Father has spoken over me in his word, in prophecy, and just put that on, to take that. That is what I'm going to wear it. Every day I'm going to wake up, I'm going to put it on. That's truth. Everything else is a lie. He has not abandoned me. He has not forsaken me. That's the truth. Doesn't matter what the situation looks like. Doesn't matter what the waves and the wind. The truth is what stands. So I'm gonna put it on. Now, I do this in my head. Like, whenever I go anywhere, I mean, it's much easier. When I walk in the hospital, I do this. I walk in there, like Charles is going, his dance can't touch me. You carry what you think you've got on you. If you don't have it, it'll just, you don't have it. So put on your truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. It's going to make you, truth makes you strong. Truth makes you strong. And I'm so particular about the words we say in jest and in sarcasm in our culture, because it's so powerful. Don't say it. And sometimes I have to be told, you know, Charles, I don't think that was very good. I'm like, I just choose to repent straight away and take those words back. Truth, the power. Oh my goodness, we just don't realize how much power we've got. Okay, what are we going to do next? Put on holiness as the protective armor over your heart. Ooh, this is so good. Holiness, what's holiness? Holiness is purity. It's vulnerability before the Father. It's coming to the bottom of ourselves. What does that do? That protects our heart. The deep place of purity that the Father's been bringing us is because there's nothing to hide. There's nothing to hide when we come into that deep place of purity and he's drawing us in. So, okay. I love my armor. I love it. All right, just don't rip it. Okay, let's read this. Just don't rip my armor. Wait a minute. Last night, I'm making it. Charles is getting more and more worried. Going, you're not going to make me wear that, are you? So, don't do it too tight, it'll rip. He's like, he keeps going, you know it's Father's Day. I'm like, yes. Yes. Put on holiness as a protective armor. How many times do the word it says, search my heart, purify my heart. Don't run from it. Allow our hearts to be so vulnerable. Vulnerability is scary, but it's such a good thing. It protects your heart. You got nothing else, like, what else is there, you know? Come to the end of ourselves, and that's protecting our heart. Okay. Stand on your feet alert. Don't you love my boots? You see, the more you get around this armor, the more covered in gold you become. That's the glory. Come on. I mean, it just covers you. Can you girls fix me? Yeah, you just get covered. I'm shining. This is what the armor does to you. I mean, who wouldn't want to go around dressed like this? This is how I go to work. Covered in the glory. Okay, what do we want our feet to do? Put on. No, stand on my feet alert. Then you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace as you subdue your enemies. Stand on alert so that the enemy doesn't take you by surprise. We're standing in peace such that when stuff comes and things come upon you, this is what we release. We release the peace, the good news of the gospel. This is what we carry on our feet. So even when we're feeling down, even when we're feeling like we're in the valley, it doesn't mean we don't have armor. He's given us this armor in every moment. Okay. In every battle, take faith. Now, I love the way the Passion says this. It's a shield, right? Take faith as your shield. But the Passion says, take faith as your wrap around shield. Now, I couldn't make this wrap around me, but imagine it wrapping around me. It wraps around, protects you from all sides. It's not just where you're alert and poking it out there. It shields you from every direction. Faith covers you, gives you something from every side. You've got to take the faith and hold on to it. You know what it does? It's a wraparound shield, for it's able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. So faith is standing on the promises and the hope that God has given you and calling it forth and speaking life into it. As we take that, every lie of the enemy dissolves. It goes, poof. Like, can you imagine the arrow going, fire? I mean, imagine fire hitting me and it hits and it just goes, bzz, it's like nothing. All because I'm just holding on to the promises God has given me, even though it's coming from every direction. This is his promises. I love, Isabel, our special Isabel. If you've been following her on Facebook, her husband's got cancer, it's going all through the body, but I love how she's worded her posts, that is just an indication that God is going to release a mighty miracle, that all the words he has spoken over them, that's something for them to stand on. That's what faith is. Faith, we stand on the words, we stand on the promises. That makes me strong. That just like protects me. It's like, it is like, I feel so protected in here. It just can't get into me. It's like, whoa, it looks a bit scary out there. But here, I feel really good. I feel really good. Okay. Now, what about this one? Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance. Embrace. Wow. Embrace it. Where does Gehenna even come from? Where does your helmet sit? Very important place. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance, like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. This is a big one. This is a big one. Salvation is nothing missing, nothing broken, perfect in every way. It's our complete thing. But where does it sit? Where does it sit? It sits over our mind. And where does the enemy love to come and attack our mind? Oh my goodness, little lies, and they niggle in. And then you start to put down your shield. When those lies get in, you start to put down your shield. You start to take everything off, and you're bare, just wearing your superhero undies because that's all you got left. And you just get down, beaten and downtrodden. The Father just really want to encourage us today. There was such protection. He's fighting for you. He is your superhero. And he's given us this amazing supernatural armor to protect our mind. So when the lies come, we don't let them in. We let him go. That's a lie. And sometimes I'll tell the kids, that's a lie from the pit of hell. And I don't want to hear it again. Like, got to get aggressive with these things. You got to speak them out for what they are. Because you know what the lies come? They just come very softly and whisper. But if you feel it in your spirit, it rises up and it's like, no, that is pure lie. And you can't receive it. You just got to completely kick it out. Okay. Now we want the mighty spirit sword of the spoken word of God. it just cuts through everything. It just, nothing else can, I mean, it's, whoa, the mighty spirit word of the spoken word of God. So if you don't know what to say, speak the word of God. Release the word of God. Now, I love what the Passion continues with. I love how the Passion continues this verse with the spoken word of God. It says, pray passionately in the spirit. Okay, so you take the word and you just don't know what to do with it, but it's your protection, it's your armor. Pray passionately in the spirit. Isn't that so simple? As you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times, he's giving us such simple things. Pray passionately in the spirit. I don't know if you've been on one of those really down moments in the valley. There's something you just start to pray in the spirit. It just rises up within you. It kind of all works together, this armor. It just kind of clicks in. It clicks in your thoughts. Suddenly you start going, oh, actually, I think that's a lie. I'm not going to believe that. And then your heart, suddenly there's a wave of like, oh my goodness, what is in my heart? And everything starts to shift. And the Father just wants to give us a picture to remember and to hold on. He is fighting for you. He is your superhero. He, all the way through the Psalms, if you get into it, all the way through, he sends a father's help. That's what he does. I mean, that's our story, isn't it? But I tell you, you see what you want to see. All the way through, over and over and over, he sends a father's help. So today, Father's Day, he wants to awaken to our hearts. You know how you just feel so full when you get truth in your spirit. You're like, oh my goodness, that I can actually stand in that. It just gives you the energy and the strength. That's what it started out on, the first few verses there. He infuses you with the strength to keep moving, to hold on. And even if it's a valley place, his armor, he gives us the armor in the valleys, not just in the big times where everything's wonderful and we think we got our armor on, but it's to protect us day in, day out. And He just wanted to say, dads, especially because you hold so much stuff on your shoulders and you make stuff happen for everyone, that he is your superhero. And if you can just picture me just like this, then you'll remember. You'll remember. And you've got to, oh, my Bibles. Who knows what's happening at the end of the year? The Passion is coming out in a complete book. You all got to get it, hey? So I've always got, yes, come on, I've always got so many of them. Okay, just listen to a few verses. God, your wraparound presence is my protection and my defense. You bring victory to all who reach out to you. Lord, how wonderfully you bless the righteous. Your favor wraps around each one and covers them under a canopy of kindness and joy. But many blessings are waiting for all who turn aside to hide themselves in him. My true hero comes to my rescue, for the Lord alone is my savior. What a feast of favor and bliss he gives his people. So, Father, we just thank you today that you've come in whatever place that we're walking in, where our hearts are, that you meet us in that place, that you stand tall for us, that you speak for each one. You are our justification. You're the one that speaks for us. And Father, I just thank you that you clothe us with your glory, that your presence wraps around us, your protection. Father, I just thank you that you release hope to every heart and every fiery dart, every lie. We just Let them fall to the ground. Every lie, we let it fall to the ground. Father, I just thank you for your hope that you awaken, that your depth. Father, I just thank you for your truth that is so sure and such a foundation that we stand upon. Father, just fan that faith within us. Let it stir within our spirits again. Let faith arise to stand on, to hope on, to believe in your promises, that every promise from your word is yes and amen, Father. I just thank you that you're infusing such hope to every heart today, Father, that you would speak for everyone. Amen.